any of this at all. And they've since come back to, you know, sort of where they started with these Abbey style ales. So I chose the blonde as one that, well, if you're going to be stuck at a holiday party, I'd like to be with a Belgian blonde.
Well,
of course you would.
I'm going to be over in the corner smoking my dad. You know. So, Phil, you're saying that the crossover index point between the derivative, you know, base stock that you bought in the spring and the fall is what once again? Hang on a second. Let me take a hit of this again.
So what do you think about this beer, Mikey?
I thought what was interesting is Reverend Mark and I didn't actually talk in advance, you know, and when I was thinking about, you know, the style of beers, this falls in that same category of, as I was looking at something that it doesn't have a huge hop presentation to it.
Yeah.
Belgian blondes to me are very versatile. They're usually banana bombs. And I think of probably all the ones that he could have picked, this is the one that at least, you know, you don't feel like the entire bunch of bananas has been shoved up your left nostril, and very approachable. I've had this several times. This suffers from some of the same characteristics that we talked about with the Erringer. It's imported. It's been stuck in 20 warehouses, yeah. You know, and I would certainly say the same thing is that if you found somebody that made a very good blonde, Belgian blonde locally, that would probably be your go-to.
Yeah.
They're very difficult to screw up. And probably having something that's local and fresh would probably be a much better choice than having something that was moved all over Kingdom Come and 4 years old. But I love this. I think it's a great choice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do too. I think it's very approachable and very creamy.
It is.
Yeah, very, very smooth.
The head just stands on it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Word. All right. Well, we want to rate this dog. Yeah.
I think we are going to rate the Left Brand a solid 4.
I'm saying Leffy because that's what Reverend Mark said.
Okay.
Okay, so
now for the classy,
going from the masses to the classes.
I think you only have time to introduce the beer, by the way.
So this one is almost a one-off. It's fairly hard to find. It's a Delirium barrel-aged black ale, although it's really more mahogany in color.
Yeah, well, we'll be right back with more in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. On the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. The party is on. And right before the break, Reverend Mark introduced the beer that he would bring for the aficionados.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the
that
stuff.
Just kicking in, man.
Hey, meet me down the hall, you know. Pour you a little bit
let's go into
a snifter, a small
corner room.
Snifter
yes,
of this.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. And so, anyway, this is the kind of holiday release. I think actually in Belgium it's out in the summer, but it comes to the States during the holidays. And they've only been doing this for a couple of years from what I gather. And it is the Delirium barrel-aged black ale. And it is a blend of their Nocturnum and their Christmas ale.
Huh.
So it's a blend nice. Of those two. Of
so
those
this
two.
Is not a full-blown mistletoe bomb.
No.
Yeah.
And it is aged for 9 months in a Buffalo Trace barrel.
Huh. Which is interesting because, you know, I would have thought that would have just obliterated, you know, any of the base beers. And that is not the case. This mm-hmm. is not a booze bomb either.
No. I mean, it's there, but it's like...
You can tell it's been stuck in some kind of yeah, whiskey barrel.
But it's not.
But it's not overpowered.
Just kind of accentuates things a little bit.
I think it tames down the esters that you would normally find.
Oh, sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, the fruity esters are, I would say, highly muted.
Get the man esters out of here. Yeah,
and so you get more vanilla and other kinds of spice with that. And anyway, this is... I'd say this would be a one-off for me. I'd say, here, try
one and done. Yeah.
I don't know if it's ever going to come back.
This and a little bit of dab, you're probably, you better set. Get a sober ride home.
You're set.
I've never had this before, so I've never seen the bottle. I definitely have never seen this on tap, and I would say that this is only available in a bottle.
This is the only one we couldn't get, I think, for the Delirium show.
Huh. That we did, yeah.
Yeah, and I love Nocturnum, you know, is such a super solid, you know, go-to beer. I'm not a fan of their Christmas ale, I'm not a fan of Christmas ales in general.
But Belgian NyQuil, right. Man,
I mean,
to put you out.
You're either going to love them or hate them because they are spice bombs in general.
The thing I like about this is the balance thing is what I like. The, you know, it has all the elements of nice burnt caramel, you know, that's there. There's a touch of wood.
Yeah.
The booze is kind of, you know, in the background. You can still feel some fruity esters that are kind of jumping all over the top of this.
Yeah. Yep.
This is definitely a beer you can go off in the corner and have a good 20-minute conversation with Juliana about.
Yeah. Wow.
Again.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
And it's so relatable to the ABT-12 from St. Bernardus that had. I mean, like... Clearly, they're, you know, somewhat similar, but I like that idea of, and I think beer nerds would appreciate having something that's a little bit more complex and makes you think, because we're all, I hate to say it, but we're all thinking when we're drinking, like, of, hey, is this something that I would get more of, or, oh,
I think non-beer nerds would actually give this a fair try.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I admire the artistry of the blend that's done here, for sure. I mean,
and it's bottle conditioned. So
this is gorgeous, and we're going to rate this one a 5.
Good job, River.
I'm really glad we have the whole bottle here.
Excellent choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll make it through it. Okay. So for my non-beer nerd friends, I went kind of away from beer. I went to cider because I think it's a good bridge drink. I've had a lot of good luck with Spanish ciders, and so this is Ordago Ibérico from Benzagaraja in Basque, Spain. So it's a dry Basque cider, 6% ABV, and I really like Spanish ciders. I think they olé.
Oh, like Spanish gin.
Yeah. There you go. I like that too.
Yeah, just skip the cider. Go for the gin.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I think the first thing I like is what a great choice to take for the masses, Dave, in terms of going for a cider as opposed to taking a beer for a larger group.
Yeah.
I just think that is such a stellar idea all by itself.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that I would have picked this particular cider. It's a little harsh in terms of it's very tart.
Yeah.
You know, and there are a lot of choices of ciders that would be a lot softer, a bit more approachable.
I thought about going with the woodchuck. But
that's kind of clubbing you over the head, you know, for sure. So I really love the idea of taking a cider, but I don't know that I would have taken this particular cider.
Yeah. But you could put ice cubes in it, you know?
That's true. It's true. Soften it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Water it down.
Yeah, I kind of, I mean, I hate to.
No, it's baby. It's,
yes. I
just break
again,
me down. Break
no,
me down.
Bringing the, I guess I would just would have had something that's a little bit more sweeter too.
Yeah.
Because I'm really enjoying this, but I'm looking at it from a, ooh, this is a Spanish wine. Ooh, this is going to be dry. Ooh, this is going to be earthy. Like, this is going to be nice. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I don't know that Joe Q Public would appreciate these sort of nuances.
Well, I don't know for sure, but I mean, I think it's more about the concept, you know.
Yeah.
I like this. There's a certain brininess to this cider that
I enjoy. Yeah, there is, which is really cool.
That's an interesting way of describing it, because there is a salinity component that is kind of surrounding this that, you know, is definitely there.
It's effervescent.
Yeah.
In a nice way.
Yeah. This does have a touch of carb on it.
Yeah. And I get like this little bit of like lacticness to it too.
100%.
That I'm actually really enjoying, because I'm not a fan of the super sweet ciders, you know, so having something like this, I really do enjoy. Yeah.
And I get a little bit of a tart type taste that you would get when you bite into a Granny Smith.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're going to rate up the cider, but I do want to say, I absolutely think this is a killer idea. I didn't particularly like the product that you chose, but I really love the idea.
Mike, if you liked everything on this show, we would
be worried.
Yeah, I'd be kind of frightened, actually. Yeah.
Mr. No was alive and well over here.
Yeah, so we're going to rate this Ordago Biblio A.
I really.
Oh, okay. We're going to go.
Okay. I'll give it a 4.
Four.
Oh.
We're going to rate it a 4.
Okay.
Okay. Now, so, what are you bringing for the educated?
For the educated, I went a little sideways as well, because I was thinking you could go either way with this one, too. So this is...
It looks like juice.
This is the Mosa sour fruited ale, mimosa-inspired sour fruited ale with sea salt and tangerine puree from Southern Grist Brewing Company in Nashville, Tennessee. I figured beer nerds, you know, they usually go with the trends a lot of the time, so they'll try something crazy. And for the woo-woo girls who don't like beer in the crowd, they do like mimosas, and maybe they'll go for it.
I'm going to say this is going to cut the circle of friends that you have at the office party from 8 to 2 in a heartbeat.
How dare you?
You know, I just, I think it's always very tough to bring a sour beer, you know, to a larger group of people and, you know, for them to really genuinely appreciate it. It's not that it's a bad product at all. In fact, I think it's very well made. It's very orange forward. You know, it has, I don't know, a good Valencia orange. You know, I can see it can be some other sweeter varieties, Tangelo, you know, right there with it. It's not acidic forward, so I think in terms of, you know, some sours can get very acid and very juicy really quick. There's a sweetness that's kind of over the top of this.
I don't think I get mimosa.
No, I definitely don't get that. Mm-mm. I think the only thing I would think is I would have a half glass of this and I'd be done, and I would really want to look for something else, and that's the only thing that I would just worry about is I wouldn't linger over this.
Well, that's why I would only bring one can
for everyone like I said, to share. You cut down the group of people hanging out with you from 8 to 2 in like a nanosecond.
Oh, so. I bet you a lot of the
what do you think, Reverend Mark?
Office lady.
Yeah, you're pondering it over there. I think because if you bring, as you said, Dave, a can and share it sparingly, then it has a certain mystique to it at that point, and you're not drinking a full glass to where you're going to just get tired.
I can see you pouring this and going,
so, no,
you've never had this before.
Yeah, I think it's going to work in that way.
Add it to some Spanish gin. You probably got something.
Huh. Interesting choice.
And it might go good with a really bad fruitcake.
Hey, there you go.
What do you call
it? Make it better. Yeah. Make it even better.
It probably would.
I messed up, and I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah.
Here, have another hit off the dab pipe.
Yeah. Lovely.
Wow.
All right. Let's.
Okay. Well, the mimosa from Southern Grist, we are going to rate a 3.
All right.
It's interesting. This is actually one of their most popular, you know, beers in their lineup right now.
Which is
kind of interesting.
But it's kind of what they're known for right now. That's what they built their business on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This style.
Well, for me, quickly, the beer for the uneducated, I went with the Blackberry Farms Pilsner.
Super solid choice.
Pre-buyout, of course, for those in the know. But this is 5% ABV, and it's just nice, clean, easy. And for those that enjoy a Miller, Budweiser, Michelob stuff, I think that this would be a nice transition into, hey, you can go craft without being scary craft. And this was my idea.
Craft doesn't have to wander away from a taste profile that you like.
Right.
You know,
it's just slightly elevated.
It's exactly the word that I was going to use. You're thinking that it's different and you're going for something that's elevated. And I think that is a great, you know, tactic that you're going for of going, listen, I know you really love, you know, the big blue, you know, can, but let me actually pour something for you that I think you've never had before. And you actually, you know, might think that, hey, this is an amplified version of what I enjoy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And also Pilsners have become the belle of the ball of late, you know, as we get out of COVID. And I think that, no, granted, Blackberry Farms is kind of in our backyard, but you could find a Pilsner in your local area. You know, that doesn't have to be a macro Pilsner.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. But like bring that to the table and I think people would really appreciate it.
And I'd say, you know, local and fresh mean a lot to this particular beer style.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This would smoke a lot of choices, you know, for a Pilsner all day long. And you'd love to tell them, like, yeah, this is fresh. This is what fresh Pilsner tastes like.
And it'd be interesting to just bring this to one of those guys in just in a cup.
Yeah,
and
don't tell them what it is.
Yeah, just,
absolutely.
Hey, here,
yeah,
try,
here
this.
Try this.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust me.
Yeah.
Don't smoke that,
yeah,
but trust me.
Then when they turn their back, you switch it for some of that Mosa and slip that to it.
Wow, look at him twitch. That is awesome, man. I thought he would actually hurl, but he just kind of twitched.
Get off the floor, Jerry.
You know? Yeah.
Get off the floor.
Wow.
All right, everybody. So we've learned that Phil does not like sour beers, and so that's what you've learned tonight.
Yeah.
So put that on your resume somewhere.
He loves dab.
So yeah.
There you go.
But I think it's just, you know, it's easy, and it's not too overly hoppy, so people that are used to not a lot of hops would appreciate this.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. I'll give that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the Blackberry Farms Pilsner, we are going to rate a 4.
Well done.
Always well done.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I can hear Caperton saying, so none of you chose a Saison? Seriously? You know?
But I got close. I got close. Sort of. Okay. So, and Caperton and I have had many discussions about this beer.
All right.
And I didn't necessarily, I mean, it's sort of an homage to him, but not really an homage to him. But I remember going to Funk Factory Gooseria, which actually now is not Funk Factory Gooseria. It's something else, but that's a whole different story. But I know that a lot of people coming to an office party and being in the winter, you're going to bring the barrel-aged beers, you're going to bring stouts, you're going to bring, you know, dark, fruity-laden stuff. And they're awesome, and they're amazing. Don't get me wrong. But I wanted to go with something that was almost like a palate cleanser to all of that. So I brought the Meertz Fooder Fermented Sour Aged on Peaches from Funk Factory Gooseria. This one is only 4.5% ABV.
Wow.
This is so complex for a beer that's that low in ABV.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
So I happen to have this beer. We had a break earlier, and what I thought was interesting was that I enjoyed this with wings and pizza, which is common food fare that you would have at an office party. And I thought what I enjoyed about it was the complexity of this in contrast to, you know, a very simple food profile. That actually worked really quite well. In fact, I actually thought that's the way you want to have it, is you definitely want to have food with this beer in order to really fully enjoy the measure of complexity. So I really enjoyed it. Great choice.
And the peaches, like, come out, you know, it's not too overly lacticy. It's,
yeah, it's definitely not something that would have Phil twitching on the floor.
Good.
I think the low ABV really would appeal to a lot of people, too.
Yeah. You know,
especially when you're trying a lot. If you're at a place where you're trying a lot of different things.
You can have flavor without alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to rate the Meerts on Peaches from Fung Factory a 5. And that is going to do it for our office party. Yeah.
So is it time for the exit strategy, Dave?
Oh, I would have been gone like an hour ago.
Yeah, I think you were.
And the after party is going to start. All right. Well, good old boy, Mike, as always. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, if you haven't checked out some of our other holiday episodes in our back catalog, definitely do that. We have a lot of great holiday-related episodes to check out. Come back and enjoy another exciting episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes. I wish you to keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark, thank you for being here, and thank you for bringing your wonderful beer today.
Wouldn't share the holidays with anyone else but these fine folks around the table.
Good old boy, Dave. Thanks for showing up.
Hey, thanks. And make sure you follow us on all the little social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and X, and Snapchat, all that stuff.
This is good old gal, Juliana. Keep on chuggling, and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
Thank you. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, and we hope you have a great holiday season.